Halsey nearly died.
Oh no!
How did that happen? Today, we've got Halsey's true English story and much, much more in...
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Hello, I'm Reza.
And I'm Craig.
We've got 45 years of teaching between us, and we're going to help you improve your English and take it to the next level. How are you, Craig?
I'm very well today, thank you. How are you?
I'm very, very well.
You're looking good.
Thank you very much. You too.
Thank you.
So we've got a lot in store for today.
We've got a wonderful story from Jose, but before we get into your listening comprehension and listening to Jose's story, we've got a voice message from Eugenie from Barcelona.
Hi Reza, hi Craig. I'm Eugenie again from Barcelona. This time I only wanted to say thank you. Thanks for your time for analyzing my stuff. Let me tell you something. By no means I'll stop listening to your podcast. Thank you very much. Keep on rocking.
Keep on rocking, says Eugenie. What do you think, Reza?
Thank you very much, Eugenie. Very nice message and very good pronunciation.
Yep.
Well done. I did notice a little tiny mistake though, Craig, but understandable. Don't worry, we understood it perfectly. You should have said, by no means will I stop listening. Will I stop listening? That doesn't sound normal. Surely we normally say, I will stop listening is the order, right? Mm-hmm. Subject, I, auxiliary, will stop listening. But no, if you begin with the expression by no means, you're obliged to invert the order of the words. You have to use what we call an inversion. So you change the normal order and you put the auxiliary first, will, and then the subject, I. It's obligatory. You have to. It's very common with negative adverbials, things that begin like by no means or under no circumstances or that type of thing. You're obliged to use the special inverted order. So you should have said, by no means will I stop listening. But it's a tiny little detail, Eugenie. Your message was fantastic and thanks very much.
And it's a really nice expression, by no means. Yep. By no means will we stop podcasting.
De ninguna manera.
De ninguna manera. Next, we have an email from Antonio from Badajoz. Reza, would you like to read it?
¿Puedo usar el acento de Badajoz? No. sorry, Antonio. But I lived in Extremadura for a year, remember? No, I have to speak English. Okay, stop that, Reza, stop. Okay, Antonio wrote, Hi, Reza and Craig. It's Antonio again with another question for you. Watching movies in original version, I've realized that a lot of times I can hear the expression, how would you like, followed, for example, by either, how would you like a punch in the nose?
How would you like a punch in the nose?
How would you like being left by a woman that way? Or something like that. So those are examples that Antonio's actually heard. He says, I gather it's some kind of complaint, una queja, or threat. Amenaza.
What does I gather mean?
I gather means I understand. That's a very good use of the word gather. Well done, Antonio. Since I can't entirely get my head around it, I'd love you guys to shed light on that, if you please. Ooh, shed light on. That's a good idiomatic expression. To illuminate, to make you understand.
I also like, I can't get my head round. I love that expression. I can't understand it. I can't get my head round it.
A very good use of idioms and expressions, Antonio. Well done. I think we can explain that, can't we, Craig, quite easily?
Yeah. So for offering someone something that you think they will enjoy, you could use, how would you like, as an offer. So you're offering something. Reza, how would you like a glass of beer?
Oh, I'd love one, Craig.
How would you like a glass of coffee? How would you like a cup of coffee?
I'll have the beer first and then the coffee.
How would you like a free T-shirt?
Oh, I'd love one. An English podcast T-shirt?
So, yeah, I mean, normally you could use how would you like as a way of offering something to someone. How would you like to go out tomorrow night, for example? Is there any other use of how would you like?
Yes, I think the expression that Antonio's referring to here, how would you like a punch in the nose, it isn't really a genuine offer. Because you can use how would you like for telling someone to consider how they would feel if something bad happened to them, especially if it's happened to you. Or it can also be a threat, una amenaza. Imagine you're really annoying me.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I say, how would you like a punch in the nose?
How would you like a kick in the teeth?
Yeah, because that's what you're going to get, you know, if you keep annoying me. It's a threat. Or imagine someone stole my mobile phone. And I say to you, oh, no, it's made my life really difficult, Craig. How would you like someone stealing your mobile phone?
Yeah.
You know, feel sorry for me. You wouldn't like it, would you?
Or if I spilled some beer or coffee on my trousers and you laughed and you thought it was funny and it was a joke, and I said, Reza, that's not funny. How would you like it if I spilled beer on your trousers and I didn't apologize? How would you feel? How would you like it?
Or how would you like being left by a woman just like I was when I was 20 years old, I think, 21? She went off with my best friend. It's true. It's a true story. How would you like being left by a woman like that?
Happened to me too.
Yeah, I confided my problems to him and he stole her from me.
I was left by, my woman left me to go with my best friend. How would you like it if that happened to you? Yeah, not very nice.
We have more feedback, this time all the way from New Zealand. There's comment on the blog about the episode we did about farming, that was episode 155, from Nayabit, who's on a farm in New Zealand.
Yeah, I was really happy and surprised to get this message from Nayabit, because the episode we did, which is inglespodcast.com/155, about farming in Australia, spoke about an Argentinian guy, Juan, who was working on a farm in Australia. And then 2 days later, or 3 days later, another message from someone working, from Nayabet, who's working in New Zealand on a farm, who says, thank you so much, guys, for this podcast. It will really be useful for me. In fact, I work on a dairy farm here in New Zealand, and I'm a bit familiar with these words, but not with all of them. So thank you once more. So I was really happy to get that, because sometimes it's amazing the people that are listening to the podcast who we don't know about. So thanks very much for your comment, Nayabet.
And Nayabet and everybody listening, we particularly like it whenever our podcasts have such a practical use. So Nayabet's actually working on a farm, and he said he didn't know some of the expressions that we've taught him. So now that's going to be really useful in his professional life.
And speaking of people in far off places, in countries very far from where we're podcasting from, we have a voice message from Leanne from Panama. Let's see what Leanne has to say.
Hi, I'm Leanne and I'm from Panama. I've been using managingenglish.com to study English, and it really has helped me. I remember that once my English teacher asked me, where are you going? And I got frozen because I didn't understand a single word of what she was saying. So thank you again. And thank you for doing this for free.
Thank you so much, Leanne. We really appreciated your message. Just one thing. When you say the word THANK, put your tongue between your teeth before you say the th sound, because it sounds like just a t. It sounds like thank you. Put your tongue between your teeth and go th. So thank you. Thank you. And that will sound a little bit better. Any comments, Reza?
Well, I'd like to comment on that, Craig. That's very interesting. Most Spanish people in Spain, in Europe, have no problem making that noise because they just think of words like Zaragoza or gracias.
Ah, of course. Yeah, but in Latin America, they have the hard C sound, don't they? Right. Just cerveza.
Right.
Yeah.
So the
gracias.
As far as I know, the sound that Craig mentioned, it doesn't exist in Latin America. That sound just doesn't exist. Yeah. But in Spain, they use it with the theta.
Yeah.
It's curious.
So if you're in Latin America and you don't have that sound, let us know. Yeah, send us a message with lots of thas and try and practice your thank yous and those kind of words.
Can I correct a tiny little mistake you said, Leanne? You said when your teacher asked you something, you said, I got frozen. No, it would be I froze, not to get frozen.
She didn't put you in a freezer, did she?
No,
she didn't put you in a fridge.
I froze means you didn't know what to do. I froze. Freeze, froze, frozen. I froze.
And hey, thank you, Leanne, for the nice things you said about the website mansioningles.com. If you would like free courses and resources, then the website that Leanne's speaking about is at mansioningles.com. And there are also daily posts and exercises and audio and things to do connected to English on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mansioningles.
And thanks to Leanne and all our listeners in Panama. It's nice to hear from people so far away.
It's lovely. Speaking of people far away, if you would prefer to study remotely, which means not face-to-face, but using the internet, we have a service that we think you would like. It's called italki. You can find it at italki.com. It's a website that helps you find a one-to-one teacher who you can work with using Skype. They are native speakers from many different countries. And that means you can study whenever you like and wherever you like, even on your mobile phone or your tablet. It's a very affordable service and it gives you one-to-one English tuition. If you're interested and would like more information, go to inglespodcast.com/italki. And that's I-T-A-L-K-I, italki. And they're offering $10 in credits when you buy a lesson from the website. So you get a free lesson when you sign up. Thank you very much, italki, for sponsoring this podcast, Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
Craig, what have we got coming up now?
Now we have Jose's True English Story. Now, we've had a couple of these stories, and they all started back on episode 137, where Reza and I explained how you could tell an effective story in English. We looked at past narrative tenses, expressions to make your story more entertaining and more engaging, and we asked you to send us your true personal stories in English. And we've had stories from Mamen. We've had a wonderful story from Marcelo, that was in episode 157, and Mamins was episode 148. You can hear those on the website. And today we've got a wonderful story from Jose. So we're going to listen to it, but before that, we've got some vocabulary to explain to you that Jose uses in his story. And one of the words he uses is outskirts. Have you heard that word before? The outskirts? I live in the outskirts of Valencia, alrededores. Did you live in the outskirts of Belfast or did you live in the center?
No, I lived in the outskirts. Another word that Jose uses in his story is flow. To flow is fluir, when liquid moves. Yeah, flow, flowed, flowed. Don't confuse it with fly, which is volar, fly, flew, flown. No, this is flow, flowed, flowed. It's regular.
Jose speaks about being in a channel. And when I first heard the story, I thought, well, doesn't Jose mean a canal? Like a canal is a man-made river, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think he's right when he says channel.
Well, yeah, I think he is right. A channel is like a waterway that's created for a specific purpose. So I think in Spanish you'd use words like brazo or cauce or acequia to mean channel. And as you listen to his story and you hear the word channel, then I think you'll understand what José means.
I think the problem is in English we've got two words, but there's only one in Spanish, canal.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You can say canal, like La Canal de la Mancha is the English channel in English, eh? Not La Mancha, eh? The English channel. But if it's like a wide body of water where a little boat could go down, that's a canal. But if it's not so wide, not big enough for a boat, just used for agriculture, then you would say channel.
And there's the Panama Canal. Another word that José uses is to drag, D-R-A-G, to drag, arrastrar.
He also says overflow, which is derramarse, when there's too much liquid and it goes over the top.
If you remember when baths were popular in houses, now we have showers, don't we? But not
my mum.
Does your mum still have a bath?
In my mum's house in the outskirts of Belfast, there is no shower. She really? Doesn't have a shower. She only has a bath.
So when you go back to visit, do you have baths?
Yep. I never shower when I'm in Ireland, usually, because I don't have one.
What do you prefer?
I prefer a shower. But it's my mum's house. What can I do?
It's cleaner, isn't it? Because otherwise you're sitting in dirty water. But a bath is really relaxing.
We've tried to persuade her to get a shower as well, just even to have a shower in the bath, but she refuses. That's mum's fear.
Yep. That's mum's. So if you fill your bath too much and the water rises and rises and rises and goes up to the top of the bath and then goes on the floor, the bath overflows.
And I've done that a few times when I was a kid in my house, and my mum was not impressed.
No.
She was very angry when the water overflowed.
Did your ducks go on the floor as well, mate?
Yes, the little duckies fell out. It's terrible.
If your floor's wet in your bathroom and you have tiles, it's possible that you'll slip and fall over. To slip is resbalarse.
Hey, Reza!
Hey, Reza, listen. Oh, Craig's yelling at me. He's yelling.
Yeah.
Está gritando. He's yelling. Y-E-L-L. Or screaming.
Yell is more American, isn't it?
Yeah,
Isn't it more American English to yell at someone?
Yeah.
I yelled at him. In British English, you'd say I shouted at him.
Yeah, shouted or screamed. Yeah.
So to yell is to shout or to scream.
José also uses the word edge in his story, which is el borde, the final part of a surface, like the river's edge, el borde del río.
Reza, what's the word that you would use if you die in water? If you're in the sea, for example, and you go under the water, in Spanish you'd say ahogarse. How would you say that in English?
That's to drown, D-R-O-W-N. That can mean either to die in water, or it can also mean to kill another person in water. Imagine you were fighting someone and they held your head under the water. They might kill you. They might drown you. So it can be to die or it can be to kill.
And there's a phrasal verb in English which means regañar, to tell off. So you could tell off children. You tell off a teacher, maybe tells off the students or the pupils. There's a word that's not as common as tell off, which is to scold. And that's a word that José uses, S-C-O-L-D, scold. It's a regular verb. I was scolded at school. The teacher scolded me for forgetting to do my homework.
I don't know why, Craig. Can you think of a reason why I've never used that word in my life? And it just sounds really posh to me. It sounds, me suena pijo, no sé. Is it an Irish thing in Ireland? Maybe we just don't use that word, scold.
I think it's more a word that you would see written than you would say. And I think with many phrasal verbs, you would say tell off, like he told me off. You wouldn't really say he scolded me. I don't think it's an American-British thing. I think it's more a literary word that you would see in a book rather than actually say in spoken English. Finally, abrazar, to hug. Another word that José uses, to hug. I hugged my mum, for example. I gave her a hug. It's a verb and a noun.
Yes. And Antonio from Badajoz earlier, he sent us hugs for answering him. So we send hugs back to him and to all our listeners.
And you can, you can finish an email with lots of hugs or a big hug. It's a very informal way to finish an email. Before we listen to Jose's story, we've got three questions that we would like you to answer as you're listening. So listen carefully to these questions, because at the end of the story, we will ask you for the answers. Reza, would you like to read them?
Question one. How old was Jose when the story happened?
Question number two. Who had drowned in the canal or channel in the past? So who had drowned in the channel in the past?
And the third question, how long did the incident take from start to finish? How long did it last, or how long did it take?
So if you want to see those questions written before you listen, go to inglespodcast.com/159. And we'll ask you those questions again at the end of Jose's story.
Hello, Reza and Greg. As you told us in a previous podcast, I'm going to tell you and your listeners, if you publish it in this webpage, of course, a true story that happened to me when I was 10 years old, by the year 1963. So you can guess, I was born in 1953, therefore I am 63 years old. One more thing, please. I'm a student of English, and you and your listeners must forgive my mistakes. So I'm going to read my story. I was living in the outskirts of Valencia, in the same city where I've always lived. Close to my home flowed one of the seven main channels in this city. Its water was used by a big paper factory. Therefore, the channel passed into the factory by a tunnel where there were two enormous wood blades rolling constantly in order to break up the things that the water dragged. Back then, the children, we played on the street all free time, and naturally all of us had forbidden playing close to the channel. But you know how children are, because you have also been two of them not very long ago. One day, we were around this forbidden place, and the channel was so fast flowing because of the previous rainy days that water was on the edge almost overflowing. I was walking on the edge, admiring the speed and strength of the water, when I slipped and fell into the water. My friend started to yell my name because they wanted to help me, but they couldn't because the water ran speedily and swept me along very quickly. I tried several times to reach the edge to get out from the water, but I couldn't. I realized that I was approaching to the tunnel dangerously close to the tunnel, and I knew I had just one more chance to reach the edge, but I fell again. Then I knew that I didn't have enough time to try it again. I was afraid because I was already entering into the channel, and I knew that this meant dying like many gypsy children had already drowned. However, the volume of the water was so high that my small body hit into the top of the tunnel, and it stopped me for a few milliseconds and gave me time to reach the edge and get out from the water when my legs were already into the channel. All of it happened just in around 30 seconds, no more. When my parents were told about that, they didn't scold me, just gave me a huge hug, and they thanked God that nothing bad happened to me, so I could survive this way from a certain death from drowning. Surely, I had still a lot of things to do in my life. Of course, we never went to play near the channel again, at least me. A few years later, this channel was covered because of the city development, and nowadays the water is running underground. Well, this is my story. I hope you like. By the way, thank you for your great job. Your podcasts are very useful for students. Bye-bye and thank you.
That was a wonderful story, wasn't it, Riza?
What a good story, Jose. It was very, very gripping. It kept my attention.
Yep, I wanted to know if you drowned or not. Obviously, you didn't because you sent us the message. So thank God for that. So the answers to the questions, let's repeat the questions for you again. What was number one, Reza?
So the first question was, how old was Jose when the story happened?
And the answer, he was 10. Second one, who had drowned in the channel in the past?
And the answer is gypsy children. Gypsy is gitano.
And the third question, how long did the incident take from start to finish?
About 30 seconds, so not long.
So we hope you got those three questions right. Any comments about the way that Jose told the story? By the way, the transcripts of his story written, you can find, thanks very much to Jose for sending us this, at inglespodcast.com/159. Any comments, Reza?
It was very well told, and it did a lot of the things you're supposed to do to tell a good story. But we'll talk about that in detail later. But Jose, forgive us that we must correct a few little mistakes you made.
Yeah, one thing he said right at the end, he said, here is my story, I hope you like. That's a common mistake with Spanish speakers when they translate te gustas. You have to have an object, I hope you like it. So I hope you like the story, I hope you like the movie, I hope you like the cake. So you must have something that you like, you must have an object there. So it should have been, I hope you like it.
At the beginning of your story, you said, by the year 1963. No, you mean in the year 1963. It happened during that year, so it's in the year. By is a different meaning. If you say by plus a time expression, that means that something happened before that time. So imagine I got married in 1960. Then by 1963, I was already married. So you meant in the year 1963.
One other thing, Jose, you said, I think all over us had forgiven playing close to the channel. It should have been forbidden, which is prohibir, to forbid. So the correct sentence should have been, had been forbidden to play close to the channel. So the children had been forbidden. So passive. Past perfect passive there, had been forbidden to play close to the channel.
Also, another preposition, you said that the channel passed into the factory by a tunnel. You mean through a tunnel. Something goes through a tunnel. Por un túnel is through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, through a tunnel.
I really liked the way you correctly got the word order with you know how children are. Sabes como son los niños. That can be quite difficult when you translate it, and you said it correctly. You know how children are.
I was impressed by a lot of your descriptive language, Jose, particularly one compound adjective, fast-flowing. You said the channel was so fast-flowing. So we take the word fast, we take the word flowing, we stick them together with a little hyphen, un guion, in the middle, and we've got a compound adjective. Compound adjectives are particularly impressive in stories because you can say a lot with just one word.
And be careful, Jose, of the pronunciation of drown. D-R-O-W-N, ow. The vowel sound in drown is ow, the same as now or cow. So drown.
And also a pronunciation of a very important word in your story, water. Water, not water. No, it's not what you expect. The vowel sound is water. Water.
And you used the present continuous when you said nowadays the water is running underground. Well, it's more of a kind of a permanent habit kind of thing. So I think the present simple would be better in that sentence. So the water runs underground these days.
One final thing, another little preposition. Prepositions are so difficult, aren't they? You said, I realized that I was approaching to the tunnel. No, there's no preposition. I was approaching the tunnel. After the verb approach, there's no preposition. Approaching the tunnel.
But a wonderful story. Thank you so much, Jose, for sending that in. It was very entertaining and very nice to listen to. Any general comments, Reza, on what makes a good story like Jose's? What should the students think about before they send us and record their own true stories?
Well, we talked in detail about this a bit more in episode 137, as we said earlier. But just to recap, para resumir, Jose did what you're supposed to do. He used an accurate mix of verb tenses. For example, past simple compared to past continuous, compared to present perfect, etc. A present simple, everything. He mixed them and he used them correctly. That's very important in a good story. What else did he do, Craig?
He also used a very varied and interesting range of vocabulary to make the story interesting. A lot of descriptive language and some expressions and some idioms that made it very entertaining to listen to.
He also used detailed descriptive language, particularly adjectives and adverbs are good for giving good description, like the fast-flowing water, yeah? It was almost overflowing. Yeah, the word overflowing is a nice adjective. So adjectives and adverbs particularly give good description.
And he used a lot of very good linking expressions to link and enlazar, to join the narrative together and contrast things using words like although. You could use addition on top of that, etc.
Also, to be an interesting, good story that people want to listen to, you need to grab the reader's attention, the reader or the listener in this case. So you should use things like suspense, or drama, or mystery, or shock, susto, or other emotions that really grab people's attention. Things that make people listen or want to read. And Jose, you certainly did that.
So now it's your turn to practice your English. If you have a true English story to tell us that is similar to Jose's or in the past Mamen's and Marcelo's story, please send it to us and we'd love to put it in the podcast and help you with improving it and helping you tell a better story. You can send us your audio files by email. Just attach it in MP3 to an email and send it to me, Craig@inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza@belfastreza@gmail.com.
And you can also send us your audio messages on SpeakPipe. But remember, you only have 90 seconds maximum to send us your audio messages. And you can do that on the computer, on the website at speakpipe.com/Inglespodcast, or on your mobile phone, you could record it speaking into your mobile phone using the SpeakPipe application. If you would like more detailed show notes to these episodes, go to patreon.com/Inglespodcast and join our wonderful group of sponsors who are joining forces to try to get all of our podcasts transcribed word for word. Reza, let's say thanks to our wonderful sponsors.
Thank you to Nicole, Anna, Pedro, Maite, Lara, Maria, Sara, Carlos, Zara, Mamen, Juan, Corey Finnerin, Mariel, Jorge, Raul, Rafael, Manuel, and our new sponsors, Agnus Paulucci and Manuel Velazquez, and our even newer sponsor, Nestor García Mañez, who's our latest sponsor. Thank you very much to all of you.
And of course, our Patreon group are welcome to download for free our job interview help, which is a PDF and MP3 download that we usually sell on the website at mansioningles.com, but we're offering to our patrons for free, and there will be more special free downloads coming very, very soon. And before we go, thanks to Arminda from Madrid and of course Alberto from Granada, who are working to transcribe full transcriptions to these episodes. Now, Alberto has transcribed episodes 132 and 133, so much easier to say that we now have full transcriptions for episodes 131 to 141. Thank you very much, Alberto and Arminda. What's next week, Reza?
Next week, we've got vocabulary on the environment and climate change.
Climate change next week. Also help on the FCE exam. So if you are studying for the B2 FCE Cambridge exam, don't miss next week's podcast, and we'll give you some help on how to prepare and pass that exam. Thanks for listening. Thank you very much. Until next week, it's goodbye from Reza.
And goodbye from Craig.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.